You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Yeah, looks like it. Yes, good morning, church. It's very intimidating to come and speak here, but sometimes it's reassuring when you hear what people say, which kind of chime with what I've been thinking about and the songs we've sung. So I'm going to spend just a few moments this morning to talk about the kingdom of God. And we are on the series talking about the kingdom of God. And today I'm going to talk about power and authority in the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has its own ways of operation. Every kingdom has kings, has citizens, and has subjects. The same with the kingdom of God, that we have God is our king, and we are the citizens of the kingdom of God, as it says. Now, unlike other kingdoms, the kingdom of God is eternal. And the power and authority in the kingdom of God is unlimited. It says in Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20, it came to pass, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the ages." The thing I like about here, Jesus is saying, all power and all authority has been given to me. And Jesus did not just retain that power and authority. He said, "I therefore send you in the same power and authority. You become my witnesses. You become my disciples." Now, I'm going to ask a few questions this morning, but I think sometimes we say these things and we're thinking, do we understand what these words mean? So, for example, what do we mean by the kingdom of God? Can somebody give us their thought? What do you think when we say the kingdom of God is? There's no right or wrong answers because there's no definitions in the Bible. I couldn't say this is the Bible's definition, but we can draw from what the Bible says. So what your thought is on what is the kingdom of God?
The way God rules and reigns.
Yeah. Anybody else?
It's within us.
It's within us. Yes? Yep. Yeah. When you become a Christian, you become into the kingdom. Did you want to say something? And that's one more observation when I was kind of preparing for this. Like, of all the sermons that Jesus has given, he's spoken a lot about the kingdom of God, a lot about the kingdom of heaven, which means it matters to him as it matters to us. And my definition is not far from yours. The kingdom of God is the manifestation of God's rule and sovereignty on earth, bringing God's order on earth. Now, as I said, there's no definition in the Bible, but I've gathered this. Like in Luke 11, verses 15 to 23, I'll read that one, but yeah. But some said, these people speaking to Jesus, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the kingdom of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. And he, knowing their thought, and said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? because you say I cast demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast demons by Beelzebub, to whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. I like the New Living Translation. It said, if I cast demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. So what I'm trying to say is, here Jesus is showing them the manifestation of the rule of God, which is the kingdom of God. When we see the power of God, that's when we see the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God was made manifest during Jesus' ministry by healing, by miracles and signs. And he's expecting for that to be happening to us as well. But when Jesus was on earth, the kingdom of God was limited where Jesus was. So when he went to Galilee, that means people in Galilee will see the miracles and the healings. When he comes down to Jerusalem, then people in Jerusalem would see healing and miracles. But when Jesus went up into heaven, as he says in Matthew 28, that all power is given to me, now you go. That means wherever we go, we are taking the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we are making the kingdom of God being manifest in those places. So it says in Romans 14, 17, that for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but it's of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And Aniko prayed that in her prayer this morning, that the kingdom of God is where the power of God is made manifest. So the challenge for us is, do we make the kingdom of God manifest in our lives? Or the people in our families, people at work, people like this morning we've been praying the situation in Middle East. That is also wanting the manifestation of the kingdom of God in that situation. We are praying that the Prince of Peace to come in the Middle East today. And that was our prayer this morning. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about the rule of God to be in that place, the sovereignty of God to be in that place. And the kingdom of God is above all other kingdoms. So that means when we are calling on the kingdom of God, all these other kingdoms will submit to the power and authority of Jesus. Now, I'm talking about power and authority. What do we mean by authority? Can somebody hazard a guess? When we talk about authority, what do we mean? Especially, not necessarily in the Bible, but yeah.
So it's legally has power to say otherwise or give a rule or ordain or intervene in a situation like police or a judge.
Thanks. Do you want to? Yes, yes. Yep, he's got authority. Yeah. Gavin?
It says the right to rule over
Yeah, no, that's correct, because that was my definition as well. Authority is the legal right or delegated permission to act on behalf of somebody else, acting on behalf of the king, for example. And a good example is the police. The police has been vested by, after training and whatever, they've been vested by the government to be acting on behalf of the government. That's why they can arrest people. That's why they can stop people, or they can stop the car as the traffic. So the authority is when we have the legal right. God has given us legal right to act on his behalf in his kingdom. It says in Luke 9, I think verses 1 and 2, then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure the sick. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So you see there, he went, sent them to preach the kingdom of God, but he didn't just send them without power and authority. He said he gave them all the power and all the authority. In other words, where Jesus would have been, now his disciples had gone there. So when they go, they represent Jesus. And it was a shock for the disciples, because they've been walking with Jesus all these years and they would see Jesus doing miracles, but they themselves had not exercised that authority. When they went, when they came back, they said to Jesus, even demons are hearing us. Even the demons are submitting to us. It was a shock. And now they realize that Jesus has given them the same authority that he himself had. Now, so the authority, as we said, the authority is vested to people like the police officer. My neighbor used to be a police officer and is retired now. In other words, my neighbor hasn't got the same authority that he used to have. He is just an ordinary person like me. He cannot arrest somebody by saying, I used to be a police officer. And the person will say, no, you haven't got the right to arrest me. But the kingdom of God, there's no retirement. There's no time where we retire from having the authority. Jesus said, I'll be with you to the end of time. So Jesus has given his authority for us to go. It doesn't matter whether we are old, as James said, or we are young. We all have the same authority. And that's the advantage of the kingdom of God. Whereas in the kingdom of this earth, it looks on status. There are things that my manager can do that I cannot do. There are things some people can do, you know, like, or some lineages, like the prince or the king can do, but I cannot do because I'm not. But for the kingdom of God, we all have the same access to that authority. We all have the same right of using the authority in the kingdom, and it's been given to us up to the end of ages. So I'm trying to just encourage one another that there's no shortage in the kingdom of God, in the sense that God has given, it doesn't matter whether you became a Christian today or you've been a Christian for 40 years, you have the same authority that Jesus has given to all his disciples. And the exercise of the authority is not limited geographically. You know, recently I heard, I don't know if you heard on the news, that there was an American fugitive was arrested in Conwy in Wales. The guy had been running away from the California FBI for over 21 years, and he went to Wales. I think he married, and they just settled in. And when he settled in, so they couldn't, they found him last year. So they've, because of extradition arrangement with America, so he was extradited to California. But the kingdom of God is not like that. You can exercise the kingdom of God anywhere because the world belongs to God. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Africa, you're in the UK, you're in Middle East, wherever you are, you have the same access, you have the same authority to exercise the power and authority of the kingdom of God. And as I said, the kingdom of God is not limited. You know, it says that God has given, Jesus said, I've given you all power and authority against the demons and to heal the sick. Now, the other bit is power. So power is the capability or the ability to enforce that authority. You know, it's one thing to have the authority, but if you don't have the power to exercise that authority, it's just meaningless. You know, you are like a child, as it were, in the Bible. You don't know your rights. But if you know your rights, you have the power to exercise those authority. So once you've got authority, and then God has given us power to exercise the authority. Every believer in the kingdom of God has the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise his authority in the kingdom of God. You can see this juxtaposition. In Matthew 28, Jesus is telling his disciples that all power in heaven on earth is given to me. So I send you to exercise to that authority. But by the end, when you go to the book of Acts, he tells them, but wait, because you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what I'm trying to say is the authority that we have is being enabled by the Holy Spirit. And on the day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the church, the same disciples who were timid, they were unsure of what's going to happen. Some of them went back to their businesses, you know, fishing. When the power came, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they realized the authority they had. And you could see that Peter is standing and telling them, those people he was afraid of, about Jesus. And a lot of people became Christians. People got saved. People being killed, being healed. So the power comes by, is made effective by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was given to the church has the power and authority to exercise the same authority. In the book of Acts, you have a lot of stories after Acts chapter 2 going forward. We hear about healings. We hear about miracles. We hear about, prison doors opened because the disciples now, they know they've got authority. They've got the power to change the situations. We've got the same power. We've got the same authority to change our situation. That's why every now and again we have prayer meetings. We are not speaking into the air. We are praying because we know that God has given us authority. God has given us power to change circumstances, to change the things that we think are not right. We've been praying about, as I said, about Middle East. We've been praying about different issues about our families. But God has given us those power so that we can effectively manifest the kingdom of God in those situations, whether it's healing, whether it's whatever it is. You know, we want the kingdom of God to be manifest in those situations. Now, the source of our power is not our own. It's in Jesus. It doesn't come from us. It comes from Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, all power is given me, but I'm sending you. I'm sending you in the same power. So sometimes, because we look at ourselves, we're thinking, I haven't got experience or I haven't got whatever, like other people. But we need to realize the source of our authority is from Jesus. Jesus gave us this authority so that we can make the kingdom of God manifest. In the book of Acts chapter 8, I'll read it. There's an interesting story about the power of God. It says from verse 8, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip and he preached the good news, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized, and they continued to Philip. But he was amazed to see the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles, then after that, the apostles, when they heard what God was doing in Samaria, they sent Peter and John. And for those in our Bible study, we are reading 1 John. We talked about John. Here you see again Peter and John have been sent to Samaria. And when they went there, Simon, because he wanted historics, he wanted theatrics, he wanted to show his power. He wanted to buy, it says on verse 16, I'll start from the verse 15. So when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, they prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit. But as he has yet fallen up, none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw through the laying of hand of apostles' hand the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that I may lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit." What I'm trying to say is, the power of God is free. But this guy, I think because he was a young Christian or because he was still wanting to show off his power because he was involved in sorceries, he wanted to pay the apostles to say, give me the same power so that I can do the same as you. But the Bible says, Peter said to him, perish you and your money. So the power of God, the power and authority we're talking about, it comes from God. And it's given free, it's not for sale, and anyone can exercise it. Yeah, it says in Matthew 10, verse 8, which is, I think if you can put that on the screen, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. I think that's very important, that the power of God is not for sale, where Simon thought it was for sale. It's a shame that in other parts of the world nowadays, people pay to go and see the man of God, or the people pay to go somewhere to be prayed for. But here, the power of God, Jesus is saying, it's free. Freely you have received, and freely you have to give. You don't have to pay. You don't have to charge for anything. You received it free, and it doesn't make you more important than anybody else. Just God is using you at the time. So, that was talking about the source of the power of God. And finally, I'm going to talk about how the kingdom of God operates. I'm talking about the power and authority. The power and the authority operates in the kingdom of God on these two things. One is it operates through faith, and the faith that is rooted in the relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have no permission to use his authority. It says somewhere in the book of Acts that there were some people, they were sons of Sceva, if you know the story. They heard and they have seen people praying for the sick and casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they decided to do the same. They said, in the name of Jesus, that Paul preaches, come out, casting demons. And that demons, they started to attack them. The Bible said they ran away naked because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They didn't have that relationship with God. The only way we can exercise this power and authority if we have relationship with God. And all of us who have given our life to Jesus have a relationship with God. It's not a matter of qualification. It's just a matter of being rooted in Christ. The day you said, I given my life to Jesus, you have access to the same power and authority. So that's faith. And the other one is, I said, that's being rooted in Christ. And the other bit is faith. If we do not have faith, the Bible says that we should not expect anything from God. This is including the exercise of that authority. But if we have faith, when we pray or when we ask or we command something in faith, we know it will happen because we have faith in him. In John 15, verse 7, it said, Jesus said, if you abide in me, that's a relationship with God. And if my words abide in you, that's having faith in what Jesus has said. You will ask me anything you desire, and it will be given to you. So the power and authority in the kingdom of God operates on those two strands. One, having faith in God, and second one, being rooted in God, having that relationship with God. To conclude, God has entrusted us with a lot of things. God has trusted us to walk around with his power and authority. We may not know it because of our own experiences, but from God's perspective, he sees that he's invested us with all power and authority. And not just God, even the enemies. I've heard testimonies of people talking about the witchcraft and the demons seeing the power that people have. I remember when I was in Africa, we were praying one night. We were praying because we had an evangelistic meeting, and we were praying. When we were praying, it was Saturday. So on Sunday, we went to church. When we went to church, a woman came to church. And when we were praising, you know, the demons start to manifest, and we took her to go and cast out the demon. And she said, this was, because sometimes you pray, you think, Nothing is happening, but things are happening in the kingdom of God. Yeah. And she said to us, she said, you are disturbing me last night. That's why she came to church. You know, she came to church for a fight. So we were praying. We didn't know her. We didn't know where she's from. But in the spirit realm, there was a battle. And she felt like we were, as we're praying for people to be saved, like we were invading into her territory. That's why she came to church. Now, to me, it was sometimes we pray and we don't see that. But in the spirit realm, there's a lot of things happening. So God has, as I said, entrusted us with his power and authority. And the more we use his authority, the more we use his power in our prayers, we'll see the kingdom of God manifest in our lives. And to finish, I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer. And while I think he's putting this the words up, I want at the end, if somebody needs prayer, we can pray for one another. You know, it's anyone can come and pray. We've got it doesn't have to be me to pray for. Anyone can pray for each other. But I think we don't want to lose this opportunity to pray for one another, to make sure that the kingdom of God is manifest in that situation. If it's prayer, it's healing, or whatever it is that we want to agree together, to say, Father, let your kingdom come in this situation. Let your will be done in this situation. Yeah. Yeah. Can we pray out together? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. It may look very simple, but I think it's a very profound thing. You know, the disciples of Jesus... Is Lynette here? Can you... Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The disciples of Jesus, they observed Jesus the way he lived his life, you know. Now, these are religious people. They grew up in a religious environment. They saw Jesus praying, going up to pray. In the end, they say to Jesus, teach us to pray. And what Jesus said was that in a nutshell. And to me, it may be a sermon on its own, but in a nutshell, there's a lot of things packed in there that Jesus wanted his disciples to know how to pray. As they pray that the kingdom of God to come. They pray that for the God's will to be done on earth. So as I said, I've finished, but if anyone wants prayers, please feel free to just come, not to me, to anyone we can pray about any situations. Yeah. Can I just say this? I didn't tell my wife that. I told her that I'll be preaching, but I didn't tell what I'll be preaching about. And then she woke up this morning. It started yesterday, you know. She's feeling dizzy. And to me, it was like the enemy is wanting me to doubt what I'm going to preach this morning, because my wife is feeling dizzy, you know, thinking, does this apply to me? I mean, it applies exactly to me as to everybody else. And I prayed for her this morning. I didn't tell her. I was praying for her, practicing what I'm preaching, you know, and say, your will be done. Your kingdom come in her life. Let the healing flow in her life. Yeah. Yeah, praise God for that. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so if anyone wants prayer, just let us know and somebody will pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. that you've given us your power and authority. You say for us to be your witnesses, to witness your power in all situations, Father God. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that, Lord, it be a reality as we live here, we go home or go to work, that the extension of your kingdom will be in those areas. Father, we thank you for your say that you'll be with us to the end of the age. So we are not alone. You are with us, God. Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.